Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Building. But he raised about $100,000. He thinks it's $100 million. He thinks Bobby Orr put in a million or two. $100,000. Terrific job by Christian and Lou, and I carry on. So there was some interesting stuff said by a lot of the guests. I listened to Alex Guerrero this morning on Greg Hill's show, and it was interesting because he was talking about the relationship, which a lot of people think has been a little frosty over the years with Bill Belichick.
Speaking of Bill, there's so much made of so many different stories in your relationship with Bill. Yeah. I mean, what's that like?
It's great. I laugh at those. It's been wonderful. You know, this is 21 years for me now going to the Patriots organization. And so, you know, I see Bill in the hallways. He gives me a high five. Like, he's great.
Is he pliable? Is Bill
he's
pliable?
Awesome. He's gotten treatment. So he's wonderful. He's been wonderful to me. I can't say enough good things about him, about, you know, Mr. Kraft, the whole Patriots organization. They've been very supportive.
So you're saying a lot of that stuff is just not accurate. Like, they've been really supportive of you.
Yeah, they've been great to me. I really couldn't say anything other than that. They really have. And you know, that is my reality. They've been good. And I appreciate them so much for allowing me to come in and be able to do what I do with their athletes.
All right, so he's a good actor if there were major problems. When he says, Bill's gotten treatment.
Well, obviously, I think Christian is tied in, and I think he kind of nailed it from the beginning when it came to this relationship, that the issue isn't really between Bill and Alex Guerrero as much as it was maybe between Alex Guerrero and the training staff.
Yeah.
That's where the issue comes in. It's just, I've been on teams where now people outside source everything, right? Like, you got your own personal hitting coach, you got your big league hitting coach. Back in the day, that was frowned upon. I'm your hitting coach. You don't bring in an outside guy.
All right.
So the training staff is like, you know what? All right, maybe Tom's an exception. It's Tom Brady. But all of a sudden, okay, Gronk. Oh, Gronk, Edelman. Okay, well, you know what? 15 guys, 18 guys. Now your training staff starts feeling a little insecure. You know, their training staff starts going to Bill and say, what the hell's going on? Well, they start getting pissed off. Now there's a feud between Alex and the training staff. He tells me I'm training him wrong. Well, he's telling his athletes to train differently. Don't do what I do. What I'm doing is hurting them. So I think the rift was really there between Alex and the staff. And I think it got to the point where Bill just said, you know what? It's like when you got just kids in the back seat yelling at each other. It's his fault. It's his fault. I don't care whose fault it is. Both of you, shut up. Just sit down. Enough. You know? And I think it just became, I need some separation here. You know, we need to separate this a little bit. You know, Alex, not going to have you to play anymore. Or Alex, I'm not going to let you do this anymore. You know, and I think he needed to sort of squash what was going on. Still liked Alex, still liked his trainers. But sometimes I might like I might like Christian, but you and Christian don't like each other. So, okay, what do I do? How do I straighten that out? And I think that's what it was, more than anything.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense, Lou. It really does. In that he's providing a much different treatment practice than the training staff is, right? Training staff is probably far more traditional, okay? And he's given you a much different approach to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so you're right. You're going to piss people off.
Yeah, I mean, you just, again, you know, you see it, you know, and you know, I remember one year I had, like, surgery. You know, a lot of guys get hurt. There's doctors they want to go see. It's their career. It's their job. It's their livelihood. They've had good experiences with doctors, with surgeons, with rehab facilities, with trainers when they get hurt. And the organization sort of like, well, go to our doctor. Our doctor's one of the best. I'm sure he is. But it's still, if it is my choice, I'm going to go to the guy I'm comfortable with. You know, or if it's still my choice, you know, I want to rehab with this guy. I want to do this. I want to do that. And some teams get kind of bent out of shape over that.
So the other one we got out of Alex Guerrero today was moving to Plymouth. okay, from Foxborough.
Yeah.
And he kind of laughed that one off. And we thought that one was pretty stupid. The people were looking at it and go, ooh. Because it's not like he's moving from Foxborough to Greenwich, Connecticut. All right? Or somewhere where,
well,
where
his,
Tom
his
is.
House went on the sale after we found out Tom's house was on sale. And we said, huh. Now, we didn't even take into consideration that now, they have nothing to do with one another.
Yeah, he's downsizing.
It is, like, right. Like he said today, it is a good time to sell. We had nothing to do with each other. And then I think Tommy Cohn was the first one that actually said he moved to Plymouth, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So he downsized. He wanted to be on the water. He doesn't have the kids in the house. He's got kids that are out of the house. Two are out. Two are in college. So they're soon to be out. I know what that's like. So that's part of your...
Grandchildren down in Plymouth, too.
That's right. That's part of your thought process. You're sitting there going, okay, the next... A chapter of my life is about to unfold. Where do I want to live? What do I want to do? And he moved down there to be closer to the
makes
trenches.
Sense. Yeah, made all the sense in the world.
Made all the sense in the world.
So to me, the interesting part of this, because we did talk to Tom yesterday, we'll get to some of that interview as well. But one of the things is, you know, Brady always says 45, you know, and playing to 45. We're trying to figure out if it's going to be 42, if it's going to be 45. Well, Alex Guerrero started to talk today with those guys about that number in age and how maybe it has changed.
I certainly do believe that 45 is very realistic goal. So, you know, we talk about it all the time. Like every year, he just adds another year because he goes in, he's like, guys, just feel so good still. Like, I think I'm going to go to 45. I'm like, okay. Then it's like now he's like, Alex, I think I can go like 46 or 47.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Oh, no. This is good.
But it is. He said it yesterday. It is the great unknown because he doesn't know. So he said yesterday it could be, you know, an injury takes you out, or it could be that suddenly everything changes.
You know what it is? It's just like what Bill told us, you know, about when he was 56, 57, said, I'm not going to coach till I'm 70.
Right.
And now that he's 66, he's like, actually, I feel pretty good at 66. Right. You know, so Brady's sitting there at 37, 38 years old and saying, I want to play it on 45.
Right.
And now that he's 42, he's like,
Alex, I think I can go like 46 or 47.
Kind of sounds like Tom.
He's got the same cadence.
Didn't he kind of sound like Tom right there? Like, you know, you've heard Tom speak like that, right? Kind of, you know, Tom versus Tom. Didn't he sound like Tom right there?
Do they have like a speech class over there, TV12, where you speak a certain way?
Am I wrong?
Is that possible? No.
For a minute there, I thought that was Tom talking.
It is what it is. That's a good line.
Alex, I think I can go like 46 or 47.
Yes. That sounds a lot alike.
Yeah.
A lot of like, it's like Bill and his son Steve. We played those back to back last week, and you hear the same thing with Alex and with Brady. But that makes all the sense. Bring up the Brady stuff because I thought there were a couple of interesting things he said. One, he's talking about guys who play in big, huge games like Super Bowl games is all dependent on trust.
It's two words to me. It's trust and dependability. And I think when I think of trust and dependability, I don't think of that as being on a team where you're 8-8. I think trust and dependability on a level of a championship level team. You know, I think there's a lot of players that, you know, it might be okay to be 8-8, and they've been involved in teams that are 8-8 or less than that, 4-12 or 2-14, and they can make some plays. But it's one thing to make plays on a team that's 2-14. It's another to do it with consistency on a team that's 14-2. And I think, you know, our teams have been typically competing for our division, competing for the conference championship, and then beyond that. And I think we require a very, very high level of consistency and dependability. And if you don't bring that, then I think other people can fill those roles. So it's not a knock on any players. It's really a credit to the guys that, you know, have been able to, you know, look at the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. You know, who's in the game? You know, and that's who the team trusts the most. You know, if you think back to our Seattle game, if you think back to our game against Atlanta, if you think back to the Eagles game, if you think back to the Rams game, who was on the field? And that's who everyone felt in the biggest moment gave our team the best chance to win.
How about who's in the first, second, and third quarter of those Super Bowl games? I'm not saying it has anything to do with what he's saying right now about Malcolm Butler, but the overall approach by the New England Patriots is that trust. He's sitting here telling you that if you've got one of these big games, Lou, and you're watching a guy every single day, and there's not a high level of trust by the coach, coaching staff, or whatever, he's just said somebody else is going to take his place. Yeah. Somebody that you don't think is the same marquee value as another player. And we've seen Bill do this.
Yeah, and I know he said it's not a knock on a player. It's just more about those other guys. It's more about the guys that can do it, right, who are dependable. Look at the fourth quarters. You know, and I know he said it's not a knock on anyone. And listen, we do it. This is what we do. Josh Gordon, you know, like, listen, what you do is really, really good for a 4-12 Brown team. Well, what you do, like, the effort you come here, it's good. You got a lot of talent. A lot of talent for a 5-11 Cleveland Brown team. But we're 14-2 Patriots. There is talent there, but the consistency, day in, week in, week out, the trust, it ain't 14-2 trust.
No.
I can't trust you. Mohamed Sanu's in. You're out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, again, because we look at him and say, he's a good player. You know, like, there's things that he can do. We watched him in Seattle, a couple big third down plays, but can you rely on him? Will he do that again next week? Or will he just look lost like he has at times this year? You know, so last year, you think about it, when was his last game of the year? Was it Pittsburgh?
Week 13,
I think
right?
It was Pittsburgh. They lost back-to-back games. They're a 9-5 team. That's not what we do.
Right.
You know, the last 2 weeks, where were you? You're a ghost. You didn't show up. Now we know what happened. Maybe it was in his head, and he was getting suspended. But I don't know. When I hear those words, like when I heard him yesterday, I thought, because we've been sitting there saying, you know, why just the exchange, Sanu in, Gordon out? Why isn't it Edelman, Sanu, and Gordon? And I think Gordon might be that type of player he's talking about. What you do is good. Good talent. For a 4-12 Cleveland, or 5-11 Cleveland, it ain't good for here.
Trust and dependability.
That's why those teams.
What we do.
That's why those teams are 5-11. Okay.
Some weeks you show up. Some plays you show up. You know, 1st and 10, that little 6-yard pass that's got to be caught. That stalls our drive. Easy drop. Lack of focus. We did it for a reason, so we could set up 2nd and short. Now we're back to 2nd and 10. It changes everything we want to do. The little things that this offense runs on. It doesn't run on the deep pass, so it runs on 1st down, 5-yard pass, 6-yard pass, 2nd and short. It runs on those things. If you can't do that for me consistently, no.
Talking about Cleveland, that may be a pretty important game tonight for the Cleveland Browns organization. Wouldn't you say? Certainly for Freddie Kitchens. If I'm Freddie Kitchens, I'm sitting there going, whoa, we better win this one.
I don't know why, but I'm convinced Cleveland wins this game.
Why?
I just said it. I don't know why.
No, so this is just a hunch?
No, because I just feel like this is the NFL. Like, oh, Indy's the team. Boom, they lose back-to-back games. It's just this Pittsburgh. Oh, they're on a roll. They won 4 straight. They're rolling. Cleveland, we don't know what they are. Next thing you know, Cleveland beats Pittsburgh. You know, then they beat Miami, beat Pittsburgh, Cincy. Next thing you know, they're 7-6. You know, I don't know about this team yet, Cleveland. But for some reason, it's just a weird league. I could see them beating the Steeler team at home tonight.
Life comes at you fast in sports.
It certainly does. We'll get into a bunch of other stuff coming up next year. More of the sound from the last couple of days. Plus, this Colin Kaepernick story is getting more bizarre by the moment. We take a break, and then we're back at 617-779-7937.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian on Sports Radio WEEI.
So I know I ask you, I feel like I ask you this every week, but I'm a huge N'Keal Harry fan. These guys kill me about it all the time. So
watch this, use the same answer I've given before.
I know. I just feel like maybe at this time you'll give it away. How's he progressing?
Good. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And I know that's not what we should be doing, but is that unfair to read into maybe they're just not complimenting enough for us to make us feel like they really enjoy it, like this kid, what they're seeing?
Yeah. All I can do is answer the questions, Lou. I can't tell you how to think. That's your job.
Yeah, that's not good. I'm not good at that.
I love that.
You know, what was in the middle of that 5-second awkward pause was a... Did you hear the sigh? Like, you just... Because I remember looking at me and just going...
Yeah.
There was a little bit of a sigh there.
See, and the problem in our business today is that a lot of the silence and the sighs that you have really give you context to what the person says. Because I saw them play it with you on TV. Was it last night or the night before? And they edited out that.
They edited
that,
it out, which it's
and
useless.
You missed the essence of what he was doing.
Which is useless.
Right. It's useless.
But I mean, when you think about it, I don't apologize for asking a question. You know, we played that clip, put it out in a tweet, and people are like, oh, stupid ass.
Well, you know.
But listen, that is a topic that everyone has been talking about. But like, you know, how why can't they compliment the young wide receivers? You know, this guy is a mystery to us. Like, why can't they compliment, you know, N'Keal Harry? Why can't we as fans feel like he's still exactly who they think he was when they drafted him to have a big impact? So it's just been hidden.
All right, so the reaction that we got on the Bill thing that you got was the fans sitting there, and it's why Bill does what he does, because the fans buy into it. They know that Bill's shutting them down. That's what they want to hear, okay?
Whatever Bill says, they can't think like themselves.
I would say this, that we were getting those messages of what the hell is going on with N'Keal Harry. I thought Tom Brady, when you followed it up and asked the question.
Pretty much the same freaking question. He gave me a human response.
And everybody else has asked him. Even asked him that he didn't give in the past. He gave that answer yesterday.
What I think we've done over years is not project, you know, expectations for people that put them in an unfair position, that people are expecting things that, you know, are not in my control. I mean, if you want to ask someone like N'Keal how he feels he's doing, you should ask him. But to ask me and then put unfair expectations on a younger player, I mean, I don't think that's helpful at all. So it's really up to each individual player, not just N'Keal, because I like N'Keal a lot. You know, but everybody's role is earned. And I think that's been the mark of the Patriots, and that's part of the culture is, you know, you got to go out there and you got to earn a spot and you earn a role. And you do that by, through practice, earning the trust of your teammates and your coaches that you can be counted on, you know, when the moments are their biggest. And, you know, it's, unfortunately for N'Keal, he got hurt early in training camp, so it just he didn't have the development, you know, for when other guys were practicing for over 2 months. So, but he's working hard. He's extremely, you know, hardworking. He wants to do it. He's got a great edge about him. I really love that. I really love his tenacity. And he's learning every day, and he's working hard to get better. And I think that's all you can ask of a younger player.
Thank you.
All I can do is answer the question. I can't tell you how to think that.
I don't know how long.
Same
that
question,
thing,
by the way.
Yeah, I don't know how long that thing went. He was asked the same question in press conference.
But just thank you to Tom. And like, thank you. That was.
I don't think there's any BS there either. I mean,
no, but you know what? Because Christian, this is Christian's thing. First off, you know he's a rookie, and the minute Tom started with, you know, I don't think we want to put unfair expectations. I felt like I've been missing that.
Yeah.
Because when I hear that, my first initial reaction is, okay, they really like him, but they don't want to get too excited because that's not fair to the kid. You know what I mean? So after hearing Tom yesterday, I'm back with kind of like Fourier. Like, okay, here we go. They like him, but they're trying to just keep the expectations down because you know, you never want to set your expectations way up here. And if he's just good, well, what happened to him? I thought he was going to be the next coming of, you know, whatever, right? I thought he was going to be a top five wide receiver in the game. Well, now he's just good. Well, yeah, he is still a rookie. But at the end of that, when he said, I love the way he fights. I love the way he works. I love the way, I was like, okay. Okay. I honestly felt like finally, and I'm just glad he did it. And I don't know if maybe things have changed in the last week after watching him.
I don't know.
But I feel a lot better about N'Keal Harry's future for this team this year and moving forward. I feel like they like him.
Yeah, I don't think there was any BS there. I think he laid it right out. And you're right. If you have high expectations, so let's say you don't know what he's going to be like in a game, but you're trying to just appease the media and you want to say nice things about him. Oh, he's terrific. He's great. Whatever. And you're right. And then he fails on Sunday and suddenly people are going to say, oh, Brady's down on him now. You know? So you don't put the expectations on.
It's hard. It's professional sports. I mean, look at what we labeled Xander Bogaerts, you know, when he was first coming up through the minor leagues. And would you say it's safe to say it took him 4 years?
It did take him 4 years.
Now, look at the expectations for Mookie Betts. What were they? Look at the expectations for Jackie Bradley. Yes. High expectations for Jackie Bradley. Low expectations for Mookie. I mean, Alex Speer was the only one talking about Mookie Betts. Nobody the hell he was.
Undersized.
Feats of Mookie. Next thing you know, he comes to the big leagues and he pops a little bit and you're like, okay. You know, then he becomes an MVP candidate. Expectations much higher for Jackie. Unfair. They were high for Xander. And it took him probably 4 years, maybe five, to kind of reach the level to say that's who they told us he was going to be.
Yeah, I thought Brady nailed it. I really do. And I had the same reaction, like, oh, my God, why hasn't anybody else said this before? Because he's absolutely right. You know, if he sits there and builds the guy up and the guy doesn't get the job done on Sunday, he throws it to him and he drops a couple passes, or maybe because he's young and he's still learning, he's working real hard at practice, but because he's young and he's new, he goes the wrong way, wrong cut, and it's a pick. What is he going to do then? Sit there and what is Brady to say? It wasn't my fault. It was Harry's fault, right? It's.
I think the question is, and I think Keith even asked it, because they kind of played both of them. Because the answer he gave me on N'Keal Harry, that's when Christian followed up and he gave him that trust thing, right? The 8-8 and 14-2 expectations, trust, end of the quarter, end of the fourth quarter, big games, who's out there, who do I trust? And Keith asked the question, can N'Keal Harry be that guy in, what, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 9 weeks, postseason, Super Bowl? Does he have time this year to be that guy for Tom? Now, Dale and Christian said yes. I'm still with Keith on this.
I would say
I feel like they like him.
In an
now.
Unfair position, though.
But, yeah. I mean, listen, a lot of football is to be played. We'll see. Maybe he goes bananas, but that's still a lot to ask.
Yeah, I would say go back to Brady's first line. Yeah. Expectations are put in an unfair position.
Yeah.
They are. They're an unfair position for us to expect them to do it. And if he falters because the moment is too big for him, maybe next Sunday in Philadelphia, what happens after the game? What happens the next day? We're all sitting there going, oh my God.
You know, it's very
this is N'Keal Harry, first round draft pick.
There's a lot of things tied into one another, and I would tie that into like injuries as well. What's the question we ask? You know, oh, injury, how long is he going to be out? 4 weeks. Okay. 4 weeks come by. The guy's not playing yet. What do we do?
Uh-oh, something bad.
What's wrong?
Is there an infection?
What's wrong?
Yeah.
Is it
Where's
worse?
The setback?
Is it worse than you thought?
Yeah.
So, again, that's a different scenario, but same. Setting expectations of returning from injury or what to expect from a young kid when you just don't know what he's going to be like under the lights in a big game. You know, it's like Jimmy G. Remember how awful he was in practice? And he threw him under the lights? And he's a stud, a Paisan stud. Now, you guys still don't think he's any good.
Well, he's fine until he plays in a big money net football
game. You don't know what this kid's like when the lights turn on either. So I think the unfair expectations is correct.
Okay, I'm looking at the injury report just came out. The Thursday injury report. Nate Ebner, the only one who did not participate in practice today. Edelman's name is off the injury report entirely. So you got Chung, Lacoste, Shelton, and John Simon. Limited participation. I'm looking at the Eagles. Alshon Jeffrey. Did not participate. Darren Sproles, he's had quadricep problems now for a while, and he did not participate. But they got Jordan Howard back and Jason Peters there.
A couple of newcomers,
left
though.
Tackle
for the Eagles, Darren
limited.
Sproles did not participate.
I thought he's suffering.
But quad.
That's weird because last week or the week before, did they just get him back? Because he missed, I think, a couple games already this season. I remember watching the Eagles.
But he just popped
up
yesterday.
Yeah.
So, same thing with John Simon. limited participant with an elbow. He wasn't on that yesterday, so.
Elbow problem. All right, 617-779-7937. Christian did it. If you're just tuning in, he went well beyond the 25 for 25. First of all, he did 25 and a half hours. Actually, he did the crossover. He mentioned that earlier. He wants a little credit for an extra 5 minutes or whatever from Dale and Keith's show yesterday. So we'll give him credit for that. So that's 25 hours and 35 minutes. But the goal was 25K, and he ended up with 100K. So job well done, obviously. So it's Lou and I the rest of the way until 6 o'clock.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Go ahead.
The Patriots will be sending the director of office supply procurement to Georgia Saturday for the workout. All right.
Yeah. Let me give you if that workout even happens.
If you don't think it's going to happen, right?
I'm skeptical. I'll say that. I'm skeptical. We'll see.
All right. Well, what's changed in over the last 24 hours?
Nothing. I've been skeptical.
Really? Even since the beginning, the very first tweet, huh?
Yesterday on the show, he said pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Adam Schefter calling in to help Christian this morning on the Greg Hill Show. And I think we've all been skeptical of all of this. So the NFL has just released a statement. I'm more skeptical than I was when I heard Schefty say this morning. We are looking forward to Saturday's workout with Colin. 11 teams, Arizona, Atlanta, Cleveland, Denver, Detroit, Miami, New England, New York Giants, New York Jets, Tampa Bay, and Washington have already committed to attend, and it's only Thursday. Ooh. With 2 days remaining until the workout, we expect additional teams to commit. You know, we got 32 of them. Former NFL head coach Hugh Jackson will lead the drills, and former NFL head coach Joe Philbin will be in attendance as well. We will send video of the workout and interview to all 32 teams, including, get this last line, Lou, including head coaches and general managers.
Yeah.
This is a sham. The whole thing.
Well, it got interesting yesterday. I think it was Schefter tweeted out, I don't know, it was yesterday during our show, or after our show maybe, but he said, NFL source. The league never promised to provide a list of attendees to Colin Kaepernick workout and said multiple clubs are attending. He followed it up with, but Kaepernick's camp says it was promised a list of attendees and can prove it. An NFL source says league did not make that promise. Another source at Kaepernick's camp said he was on the phone call when the NFL said that it would provide the names of attendees on it goes, he says.
I'm confused.
And I think that's why, like, you know, Shefty's just like, you know, I don't know if this is going to happen. We talked about it before. Like, is Kaepernick and his camp sit there and say, what, there's no head coaches there? You saw the tweet, Cap, saying he's looking forward to seeing all the head coaches.
Well, they'll see it because they're all going to get a video
copy.
I mean,
and the people that are following Colin Kaepernick that don't know football or follow sports are going to sit there and say, it's so disrespectful. Not one college coach showed up because they don't realize that these teams play on Sunday because they're not football fans or any fan. And they just think that coaches are going to fly from all over the country. You know, I don't know, Seattle home, San Fran home. They're going to leave, you know, Saturday morning, fly to Georgia the day before game, watch the workout, and go back get ready for the game on Sunday.
So wait a minute.
It's not going to happen.
Why couldn't Bill Belichick, en route to Philadelphia, take a stop in Atlanta?
Because he's busy. He's got stuff to do.
Really?
He's got stuff to do.
You're right. The non-football people are going to do this, and they're going to sit there and say, you know why they're doing it. You know why they're doing it. Because
but here's
you know,
the question I have. And I am serious. Just, I know a couple of people have the opinion, one of Ben Volen, one of Rich Keefe. Should your team be interested in him?
Keefe came up with this first. I got to give him credit because we just saw the Ben Volen tweet.
But should they? Because the theory isn't, we're talking about Cody Kessler, right? Your third string quarterback. So what is Cody Kessler? We talked about last week when you played the Baltimore Ravens and they had Lamar Jackson. And we were throwing out names. Who's going to play Lamar Jackson? You know, is it going to, you know, who do you have, right? And we were thinking, was it Bethel? Is that his name?
Yes.
Bethel and maybe Slater? Okay. So both these guys, and I agree. You know, could Kaepernick, rather than Cody Kessler, could he help them get ready for Deshaun Watson?
Maybe.
Mahomes. Okay. Lamar Jackson. Could he help them get ready for these guys? Like Dak Prescott, more so than Cody Kessler could.
Maybe, but why would he do that? Why would his agent not sit there and say, they're using you? They're going to bring you as a scout team quarterback because of the opponent that they're playing. Do we really want to do that? Right now, Colin, you are the most talked about football player in the country. And suddenly...
I think it makes sense for him.
Sense for who?
Colin.
How?
Well, do you think he's going to get a job out of this, like in week 12?
I don't.
Okay, so there you go. So now, no job. This is actually trying to set up for something for next year. So you know what? You do sign with the Patriots. You do take Cody Kessler's job. You run around with scout team, whatever it might be. Take the extra throws Tom doesn't want. Guess what? You're throwing football again at a practice. You're working on your craft. And when the season is over, you don't think if Josh McDaniels or Bill Belichick, you know, like what he did for them and said, you know what? Hey, everything was fine. You don't think that'll go a long way? You don't think a coach would sit there and say, hey, Josh, what'd you think of Colin? Think he could play? I mean, you don't think he's just got to get in?
No,
man.
He doesn't want to just get in.
Well,
he wants to be profiled. And so what happens is if he comes in when you're about to play any of these teams with running quarterbacks and you use him as the scout quarterback during the course of the week, guess what, Lou? He's inactive on Sunday.
Yeah.
And you want to hear how people are going to be screaming and yelling and say, why did Colin do this? Why did he let the New England Patriots or some team use him? They used him. He's not he can't even get on the sideline of a game where he can take a knee if he wants to. He can't even do that because he's inactive for the game.
So,
this makes no sense for him.
All right, so would it be louder if he doesn't get a job the rest of the year?
Yes, because I think he can stay in the limelight. He can be the martyr. He can be the guy that's getting screwed by the league.
It's a game. He doesn't want to play.
I say
because if he wants to play, I would say something like that is an opportunity. When you look around this league and you see the mobile quarterbacks that this team in particular, again, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Pat Mahomes, all on the Patriots schedule. Dak Prescott on the schedule. If I am the Patriots, I'm saying, you know what? You could help us more just with your legs in practice than Cody Kessler.
Okay, I'll buy that. That's a no-brainer. He can help the New England Patriots. But if you're Kaepernick
put in a good word for you and help you get a job next year.
Oh, that's great. Put in a good word. Will you send a little recommendation, a little note as well?
It's better than what you're getting right now.
No, it isn't for him because he wants
to. You think it's a sham?
Yes.
For him, his side, it's a sham. Not the league's, because I think it's the league's sham.
I would say this. When people say, you know, some people say he doesn't want to play at all, I think if a team came to him and said, you're going to be our starting quarterback. We're going to bring you in, and we believe within 3 weeks you're going to be our starting quarterback. I think he probably doesn't. That's high profile. That gets him back in the mix. He's looking at himself and his ability and his past, his resume. He's sitting there going, I took my team to the damn Super Bowl. Okay? And had they not had that blackout, maybe we win the whole damn thing. So he would take that role. But there isn't a single team out there that's going to give him that role. Matter of fact, I think there probably were a couple teams along the way that thought of him as a backup quarterback, but then looked at it and said, the distraction is too big. If he's our starting quarterback and he's Tom Brady or he's Aaron Rodgers or he's Patrick Mahomes, we can put up with the distraction of him maybe taking a knee. We can't do it with the backup quarterback. Now you're going to bring him in, and you're right. Makes all the sense in the world for the New England Patriots. I heard Keith bringing this up today, and I said, brilliant. I didn't think Keith was that brilliant. Today, he was brilliant.
Good for Keith.
He brought it up. It was excellent. And he said it would be perfect for the Patriots to bring him in and use him as the scout quarterback, especially when you're going up against these teams.
No question.
If you face the Ravens again in the playoffs, absolutely.
I think it's fascinating.
You were right. But what does Kaepernick get out of this? What does he get out of it? So he's going to be the guy who runs the scout team, and he's Lamar Jackson during the week. And on Sunday, you know where he is? He's inactive.
Well, see, okay, that is a perfect opinion if you feel that, like, he has no intention of wanting to play in this league.
I just told you his intention is he wants to be the top dog. He wants to be the starter. And by the way, Lou, he's got a bunch of people, most of them that know squat about football. I heard Rex Ryan say the same thing today about they know squat about football, and they think he should be starting. And they're looking back at him years ago when he was a starter in a Super Bowl. And he led that team to the Super Bowl as an unorthodox quarterback. And what do we have in the league right now? Is an MVP candidate, an unorthodox quarterback. I just think it makes no sense for him to do it. He's getting more attention being this activist that people can politically align themselves with. They love it.
If that's your opinion, then you're correct. Then he's going to do this. And he's going to use this to make his case even stronger.
They screwed
me. Okay? Yes.
They don't want me in here.
Yes.
So, they don't want somebody who's going to talk, you know.
But how will it look on his side, I guess, when you start things getting out, the teams were interested in bringing him in any capacity, to get him a job? Because if I'm under the assumption that maybe if he wants to play in this league. And if he does, then that's exactly the role you do.
So if
you come here for the last seven weeks, whatever it is, you're the backup guy, you're the third string guy.
No, you're the third string.
Third string guy. You get a team ready. You're listening to Josh McDaniels. You're watching this offense. You're listening to Bill Belichick. You're getting a quick little refresher course. You're back on the field. You're breaking your body down again. You're building it back up again. You're throwing passes to wide receivers. And now you're better prepared to play on a team next year. And oh, by the way, again, teams called Josh McDaniels, well-respected, Bill Belichick. How did it go?
So you're talking about a guy who has been knocked all the way down to the point that his best value for a team right now is as a scout quarterback.
For this year.
This
year. Okay. Next year? I don't know.
But I totally agree that would be his right now his biggest asset to a team to be able to prepare for one of these scrambling quarterbacks. It is. But he's going to look at it and say, you're going to put me on the scout team? So I'm going to work and imitate and be an actor during the course of the week, making believe I'm Lamar Jackson? And then on Sunday, what am I going to do? I'm going to sit at home because you're not going to let me on the field. I'm going to be inactive.
Yeah, no, listen, I get it. I get it. If it's a setup for him, fine. But it does, you know, sort of knock out that you got to admit, if he does play again, it's going to be a media circus, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
The first time. How about the second time?
Media circus for a while.
The second time?
Yeah, because if he's not active that first week, the first thing the media want to ask him.
If he signs with the Patriots, it'll be a circus. He'll be a third
media circus.
Media circus. Patriots can handle that. We all know that.
Yes.
They'll squash that story quick.
Right.
Next year, if he signs with the team, will it be as intense for him?
Yes.
You think?
Yes. I think he is the poster child right now.
I think it diminishes a little bit. I think you knock out that initial, you know, chaos that follows Colin Kaepernick, that will follow him with that first team he signs with. The second team he signs with, I think it's a little bit quieter.
See,
I think it helps him.
I don't, and I think that if you look around the league, there have been other players who have taken symbolic gestures, whether it's taking a knee, sitting, whatever, during the national anthem. But everybody focuses only on Kaepernick because he has become that poster child of social injustice, standing up, willing to be the guy that's going to go against the flow and he has strong support for people who are politically aligned with him. And I think he needs that right now because he's not a good enough football player, especially as a scout quarterback. All right, people want to talk about it. Let's go to the phone calls. Michael's in Rhode Island. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. Great show and great interviews from Bird on Down. Crazy, and just appreciate it. Lou, at some point in time, Providence guy here, at some point in time, could you ever expound on, like, you know, just your upbringing, how much you hit, how tough it was being a New England guy playing baseball. But to my
point.
I
like stories.
How about a podcast? You know,
to this point, I mean it. To Dr. this Lou. Point, like with the cap thing,
yeah.
Kaepernick thing, I mean, I think that what better arena, I mean, with Belichick here and, you know, I mean, this is a complicated thing with Brady, the whole thing. But if Brady goes down or you give him someone else to game plan for, and also specifically, if this kid wants to play again, you know, you may have to go to this scout team. And thank you for taking my call, and I'll listen
you
off here.
Okay, you got it, Michael.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Listen, it makes sense for the
if
New England.
If he wants to play football.
It makes sense for
and
the,
for the Patriots.
Yeah, for the Patriots. Because the Patriots will look at it and say, okay, we got this little old, a tiny little role over here, but it's significant, and, you know, you would be on the roster. So if we win the whole thing, you finally get that championship ring. You could throw that malarkey at him, but I just don't see him buying into this stuff. I don't. He's already pissed off that coaches and general managers are not leaving the day before their game and flying to Atlanta to watch his workout, which is hilarious. This is what he thinks of himself. And he's going to sign with the team and say, okay, I'll be the scout guy. I'll be the guy that imitates Lamar Jackson during the course of the weekend. Oh, yeah, I'll be inactive on Sunday. I don't buy it. Ronnie's in Wakefield. Ronnie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Ronnie.
First of all, there's no love here for Colin Kaepernick. I want to preface that. But I think Lou might be on the right track in as far as what Colin needs to do if he does want to come back into football is endear himself back with the fans, because that's all the owners are really worried about, is he's just got a bad rep with the fans. And if he can get on...
Hold on, Ronnie. Bad rep with the fans. I believe his jersey is one of the most sold jerseys in the National Football League.
That's a small group. You talk about the 60,000 people that stand up for the national anthem at every game. So with that being said, what he needs to do, if he can get on a scout team, then he can get a camera, get his voice and say, look, I just want to play football. If I've got to do this to get myself back in, I'm willing to do this.
Well, you're not, listen, you're taking an individual that sounds nothing like Colin Kaepernick or anything he's ever said. Now, I'm not saying that if you are been knocked down about eight pegs, that the smartest thing to do if you want to revive your football career is just sign with anybody. Sign with the AAF, sign with the XFL, sign with anybody. Sign as a practice, squad quarterback or whatever. But that's not
that's
what this guy's doing.
Anyway, that's the only way he's going to get back into the
NFL. Do you think Colin Kaepernick's going to do that?
Personally, I hope not, because I'd rather not see him on the field. But I'm strictly talking about the conversation.
So let me ask you this. You're talking about the people that don't like him, because I think he does have strong support of people that are politically aligned with him, as evident by how many jerseys he's selling. You're telling me that if he comes back and he plays and he starts talking, because he will, because that's part of his nature to at least say certain things. He can't suddenly go into a shell, that you're going to suddenly like him and other fans are going to like him, Ronnie?
No, if he kneels again, he's gone again.
There you go. Thank you very much. You just made my point. This is a guy, Lou, who is pissed off because he thought coaches, head coaches, and general managers were showing up on Saturday.
I felt like he threw that in as a setup. Like, I thought that was strange that he threw that in his tweet. I can't wait to see the head coaches there. I felt like that was a setup. To me, that was a red flag. Because everybody that's following him that's not involved in sports is reading that. And when head coaches don't show up, and anybody with a clue realizes why, they're going to sit there and say, "What? That's so disrespectful."
So
he threw it out there to a crew that's not aware of what goes on in this world, football world, to get them riled up when nobody shows up.
And he needs that world. This last caller's wrong. He's got support, a lot of support out there. It may not be that last caller's support, and he may, but it's the people that are politically aligned with him. So he's sitting there saying, I expect the coaches and general managers to all show up. That's what I think. And he's going to accept the role as a scout quarterback who's inactive on Sunday?
If he wants to play, he is.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Everybody's
again,
asking.
This is, to me, from what, everything you hear, this is really more about the offseason and team planning for next year. You know, this is why we're week 11 and we're wondering what the hell's going on. Someone's going to bring this guy and put him in the field week 13 or week 12? They're going to sign him out of this camp? I think it's background info for next year. But he can get a jump on it. For a lot of teams in the AFC, the Patriots, in my mind, being one of them, he can help them a lot more than Cody Kessler can the rest of this way in helping them prepare to beat some of these quarterbacks they need to face down the stretch.
Yeah, I think he would be better off if it's all about next year, of addressing it in March, because there might be some quarterback movement in the offseason, and it might make more sense for him to do it then. This hour's been brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Lou and I have another hour to go.
I'm tired.
Seems like nothing.
I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted.
Big fella went 25 and a half. What the hell's wrong with you? Oh, you did go an extra hour last night.
Yeah, you know.
And you were chastised by your wife.
I was.
It really got ugly there for a while. We got this hour to go. We'll go 30 minutes commercial free. We'll continue talking about the Scapronek stuff. And I get the feeling that N'Keal Harry will be playing in Philadelphia. You want to know why? Because he spoke just moments ago, and you will hear from him coming up next.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.